Veterans advocacy groups claim VA is unfairly denying health care and compensation to more than 100,000 former service members just since 9/11. They say that's because of a VA policy which disqualifies them from benefits if the military sent them home with anything less than a general discharge. Now, in many cases, those less than honorable discharges were for mental health reasons caused by post-traumatic stress troops suffered during deployments. Bart Stichman is Joint Executive Director at the National Veterans Legal Services Program, one of the groups that collaborated on a new report. He talked with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu about these conclusions.
Congress, long ago in the 1940s and 50s, provided that certain types of veterans who were discharged for certain types of conduct with a less than honorable discharge were barred from basic VA benefits, meaning health care and disability benefits, and then gave the VA discretion to bar other people and with less than honorable discharges. So what the VA has done is barred almost all veterans who were discharged from the military with other than honorable conditions, administrative discharges, in a way that we believe is contrary to what Congress intended. Because Congress intended that only veterans who received dishonorable discharges or would have received dishonorable discharges if the case had gone to a court-martial, which is the only authority to issue a dishonorable discharge, should be excluded from basic VA services. But VA has gone overboard and excluded a lot of veterans with other than honorable conditions discharges who were discharged for minor misconduct and never would have gotten a dishonorable discharge if the case had gone to a court-martial.
And just to be clear, in your view, is VA within its legal discretion to do what it's doing, or is the allegation that they're actually violating the law by applying it in this way?
No, the allegation is that they're violating the law. Congress gave them discretion, but limited discretion, and they've exceeded their lawful authority by excluding veterans for minor misconduct that could never have been resulted in a dishonorable discharge. That's where the VA's gone wrong. And so since 9/11, there are 121,000 veterans who have been issued these other than honorable conditions discharges that the VA presumes are ineligible, and you can fight to try to become eligible, but they reject 90% of the applications to become eligible because of these unlawful rules that they have.
So in addition to that 90% figure that you cite in that report that you did with Swords to Plowshares, there was, you know, a lot of discrepancies is really the pattern between how different regional offices treat veterans and even how military service members branch to branch are treated. The most striking one to me was that Marine Corps veterans were 10 times more likely to be ineligible for VA services than their Air Force counterparts. What explains that kind of discrepancy?
Well, the Marine Corps is just much tougher on Marines when it comes to discharging them than any of the other services. 10%, one out of every 10 Marine is discharged with an other than honorable conditions discharge, much higher than any of the other services. And so I guess they figure that you need to have strict discipline and punish people with these lifetime stigmas. It's really not a wise decision to burden these people for the rest of their lives with these other than honorable conditions discharges, but that's what they're doing.
And why so much variability from VA regional office to office? I mean, ostensibly they should be applying this policy uniformly,
same
even if it's
standard.
A bad policy.
Yes, well, unfortunately, the regional offices are inconsistent in many areas, not just this one. There's some regional offices are more liberal than others. And so this difference from regional office to regional office is seen in other types of decisions that they make as well. And you're right, they're the same standards for every regional office, so you'd think there's no reason to believe that veterans in one state serve more poorly, have poorer records than veterans in another state, when they're applying with these other than honorable conditions discharges. So there's no logical reason for the difference in regional office to regional office, except for some are much more anti-veteran than others.
And what sorts of recourse does this class of veterans have to get their services outside of just asking VA to change its decisions on their individual cases? I mean, can they petition the military, for instance, to change their discharge status? What can they do?
That's true. There is another avenue that you point out. They can apply to a discharge review board within 15 years of discharge to try to get an upgrade, which would trump the VA decision if the discharge review board gave an upgrade. Or if they're discharged more than 15 years ago, they could go to a board for correction of military records. And luckily, Chuck Hagel, before he left office as Secretary of Defense, issued a directive to the boards for correction of military records that they should be lenient in upgrading discharges if post-traumatic stress disorder was involved. And a lot of these cases where the veteran gets another honorable conditions discharge, the reason for the misconduct is a mental disorder. And so while it would be better for the VA to change the regulations to comply with the law so that veterans get VA benefits that they should get in the first place, there is a workaround for some of the people who are issued these bad discharges, those that have post-traumatic stress disorder that's related to their misconduct, by applying to these discharge review boards.
But back to the underlying issue of VA standards, I understand you've got a rulemaking petition in front of VA on this very topic. What would the rule change do if VA adopted it? And what's the response been to the extent you've gotten a response from VA?
Well, it would amend their regulations to make it so that veterans who apply for this for basic VA services, most of them with other than honorable conditions discharges would qualify, because it would bar them from turning people down for minor misconduct or that have substantial mitigating factors related to their misconduct. And the VA has, to their credit, shown interest in our rulemaking. They've met with us a few times to discuss the details of what we're seeking. That doesn't mean we're going to get a good result, but it means that they're not giving us the back of their hand. They're seriously considering it, which is a good sign. And maybe in a month or two, we'll get a response.
Bart, before we let you go, let me switch topics to a court victory that your center just had on behalf of veterans. This was last Friday when the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims ruled that VA had been improperly denying reimbursement for veterans who got, I think it was emergency care outside the VA medical system. Tell us what this case was about and what the practical implications of the ruling are.
Sure, Jared. This is a situation that veterans who were getting VA health care sometimes they have an emergency. The VA medical facility where they usually get care is too far away, and so they have to go to a non-VA facility, a hospital, to get emergency care. And Congress has provided that they can get reimbursed for those emergency medical services by the VA if it's a true emergency. The court ruled that the VA regulation, which made no sense to me, is unlawful and violates the statute. The VA regulation said that if you're covered partly by outside insurance, and our client was covered by Medicare for part of the emergency services, the VA won't reimburse you for the remaining part that's not covered by the insurance. So under the VA rule, if you weren't covered by any insurance, they'll reimburse you for all of your medical expenses that are emergency in nature. But if you were covered by 10% by Medicare or some other insurance for 10% of your overall bill, they won't pay the remaining 90%.
Wow.
And the court struck that down Friday. And so we had three other cases in court at the same time on that issue. So it's fairly common that veterans are turned down for reimbursement requests based on the fact they had partial coverage.
So assuming this case is not appealed and this ruling stands, just so I understand, VA would become the secondary payer in, for instance, where a patient did have Medicare.
Exactly. And that's what Congress intended when they amended the law in 2010. They said exactly that, what you just said, Jared, that the VA would be there to cover the expenses that other insurance doesn't cover.
Bart Stichman, Joint Executive Director at the National Veterans Legal Services Program. We'll post a link to the report, Underserved, at federalnewsradio.com. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.